الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we have come to الشبهة الحادية عشرة, the 11th doubt that the author he mentioned in his work رحمه الله تعالى كشف الشبهات, revealing the doubts. And he mentioned رحمه الله ولهم شبهة أخرى وهي ما ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الناس يوم القيامة يستغيثون بآدم ثم بنوح ثم بإبراهيم ثم بموسى ثم بعيسى فكلهم يعتذرون حتى ينتهوا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قالوا فهذا يدل على أن الاستغاثة بغير الله ليست شركا. So the author, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, and they have another doubt. They have another shubha, another doubt and misconception and misunderstanding with regards to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone with no partners from every aspect and in every manner. And is that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that the people on the day of resurrection will make al istighatha. Their doubt is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the people on the day of resurrection, they'll make al istighatha with Adam, and then with Nuh, and then with Ibrahim, and then with Musa, and then with Isa, and all of them, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, they will excuse themselves until they come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would accept that and say, ana laha, ana laha. So they say, any of these people who have these doubts and misconceptions, and he referring to those people who ascribe to this ummah, yet they fall into shirk clearly and directly, they say that this is an evidence that making al-istighatha with other than Allah is not considered shirk, is not an aspect of paganism or polytheism, and is not considered associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also from their doubts that they have, and it is from the weakest doubts and misconceptions that they have with regards to the issue of ibadah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with regards to the affair of tawheed, ibadah, making the worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is with regards to the issue of al-istighatha. Al-istighatha hiya talab al-ghawth. Talab al-ghawth. Al-istighatha, it means to seek relief. And al-istighatha is a type of supplication and dua. It's a specific type of ad-dua. And we have seen previously in a number of classes that ad-dua is from the greatest aspect of ibadah. And then at dua, it must be sincerity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Supplication and invocation is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And has been reported authentically, at dua huwa al-ibadah. That at dua, invocation and supplication, it is ibadah. Yani the true essence of worship is to invoke and to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to invoke and to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-istighatha is a type of dua, it's a type of supplication, but it is a supplication that is done in times of dire necessity. Whenever a person is afraid for their life or in danger or in great hardship or facing trials and the likes like this, to seek relief and to seek help out of the situation is called al-istighatha. It's called al-istighatha. You need to seek relief and to seek aid and help in times of distress and hardship. This type of supplication is called al-istighatha. It's called al-istighatha. So this affair here is what they have a doubt with regards to. And the issue of al-istighatha, there is an aspect that is lawful and permissible, and there is an aspect that is haram and impermissible. There's an aspect that has nothing to do with the issue that we're discussing, and there is an aspect that has a direct relationship with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and associating partners in the right of Allah azza wa jal with regards to that. So they have mixed these affairs up. And this is something that is very clear. So to discuss before we read the response, the author, he's mentioning the narration, which is authentic, no doubt about that, the narration of the shafa'ah. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned on the day of resurrection, that the mankind, the people, they will go one at a time to the different prophets and messengers, asking the prophets and messengers to intercede on behalf of mankind to begin the resurrection, to start the judgment and the accountability. And they go to Adam, and then he'll go to Nuh alayhi salam, he'll excuse himself, and then to Ibrahim, and he would excuse himself, and then to Musa and to Isa, and each one of them will excuse themselves and mention a reason why they excuse themselves and they will not advance upon this affair until they come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ask him to seek permission to intercede, and he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana laha, this is for me, this is for me. I mean, this is my right. I'm the one who will advance upon this affair. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will go before Allah and he will fall in prostration, seeking permission to intercede, and he will praise Allah with praises that he is inspired at that moment that he did not know before. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it will be said to him, irfa' ra'saka wa shfa' tu shafa'. Then it will be said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise your head and seek intercession, and you will be granted intercession, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be allowed to intercede on a specific amount of specific individuals from his ummah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this manner. So here their doubt is, they're saying that no doubt on the day of resurrection the people are experiencing great hardship and they're in great distress, and here now they're going to the prophets one after another to seek relief from them and to ask them to seek permission to intercede, to ask them to seek permission to intercede on their behalf. So they're saying, since the people are going to Adam and asking for him to seek intercession, to intercede on their behalf, this is a sign that that seeking intercession from the people or seeking relief from the people is not considered shirk. They went to Adam and they did that, and they went to Ibrahim and they did that, and they went to Musa and Isa alayhim salatu wasalam and they did that, and they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and he agreed and he did that, and they were not reprimanded in this affair. The issue about istighatha again is from two aspects. There's an aspect that is lawful and permissible, and no one has any doubts or misconceptions about that, and no one would deny that, and this is not what we're discussing, and this is not from the issue of worship and ibadah. And then there is an aspect of al-istighatha that is specific to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is from the issue of ibadah. It must be purified and made sincerely for the sake of Allah. And this is the topic that we're discussing here. So they are mixing these two affairs and in this manner have deviated. Waliyadhu billah. So to summarize, al-istighatha again is talabu al-ghawth. Talabu al-ghawth, and this is to seek relief. This is to seek relief in times of distress. It's a type of dua that a person will make in times of distress, in times of distress and great hardship. So to call on the dead in general, to call on the dead, dua al-amwat mutlaqan, this is major shirk. To call on them, to make dua, to supplicate to the dead, this is major shirk. Whether a person is standing at their grave or whether he is in his land and far from the grave, to call and to make dua to the dead, whether a person is standing at their grave or whether he's far from their grave, this is major shirk and disbelief, waliyadhu billah. This is major shirk and disbelief, waliyadhu billah. So these are points we have to understand. These are points we have to understand, to supplicate and to call on the dead, whether one is standing at their grave, whether one is in the far distant lands, whether he is calling on the dead to do something that they are able to do had they been alive, or whether they're calling on the dead to do something that no one can do except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is major shirk and disbelief and is apostasy, waliyadhu billah, waliyadhu billah, to call on the dead in any manner, whether one is standing at their grave or whether one is in the distant lands, whether he's calling on the one in the grave to do something for him that only Allah can do, that only Allah can do, like provide a child or cure the sick and or guide the hearts and the likes like this, or whether he's calling on the dead to do something that had he been alive he could have done, that had he been alive he could have done, all of this is shirkun akbar mukhrijun min al-millah. This is all major shirk, and it takes a person out of the fold of al-Islam. It takes a person out of the fold of al-Islam. Likewise, calling on the one who is alive, but he's not present, he's absent. Calling on the one who is alive, but he's not present, he's absent. He's not present. He's absent. Whether one is calling on him to do something that he had the ability to do had he been present, or calling on him to do something that he does not have the ability to do and is specific to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, this is major shirk. Shirkun akbar mukhrijun min al-millah. To call on somebody who is in a distant land. If he's alive, he's alive today, but he's in India. He's alive today, but he's in Indonesia. Alive today, but he's in Yemen. Alive today, we're in Stone Mountain, he's in California. Alive today, and he's in another city. He cannot hear us. He cannot hear us. To call on him to do something for you. And need to call on him to make dua to him and to invoke him and to supplicate to him to do something that is specific to Allah, or even something that he is able to do. He's able to do had he been present and able to hear. Had he been present, able to hear. Likewise, this is major shirk. Likewise, this is major shirk. And we see now that included in this affair is not only dealing with those who have been given life, like the human beings and the people, but also calling on the jinn and also calling on the angels, because they have the same ruling as the one who is absent, because we do not know whether they are present or not. The angels and the jinn are from the affairs of the unseen. So in this issue here, they take the ruling of the one who is absent from us. So calling on a person who's absent, he's alive, but he's not here. This is shirk. This is shirk. Calling on him and supplicating him and invoking him for help or for aid or for any affair from this life or the hereafter is major shirk. And likewise, calling on the jinn and calling on the angels, they have the same ruling. They have the same ruling as the one who is absent. They have the same ruling as the one who is absent. And also included in this, likewise, is calling, of course, on stones or on trees or on idols and the likes like this, with things that are carved out of wood or out of stone, so on and so forth. All of this is included here, calling on the one who is absent, calling on the one who does not have the ability to respond, that does not have the ability to respond. Also calling on a human being, or someone from the creation to do something that only Allah has the ability to do, whether he is dead or whether he is alive and absent, or whether if he's present right there in front of a person, to call on him to do something that only Allah has the ability to do, like to guide the hearts, or to provide a child, or to cure the sick, yani without the common medical means, yani meaning believing that this person has this ability and control over the creation, to do these affairs that are specific to the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to send the rain from the sky, so on and so forth. To call on a person to do this, even if he is alive and present, this is also major shirk, and will take a person out of the fold of al-Islam, As for if a person were to call on a human being, to call on another, in a time of hardship or difficulty, to do something that they're able to do, and that person is present and has the ability, then this is not considered shirk. This is something that is from the everyday affairs that no one would deny. If there is a person, for example, who is drowning in the water, and he sees someone near in a ship, and he called for him, someone near on a boat, and he, help me, throw me a life jacket, and the likes like this. This is not considered shirk and paganism. Rather, this is considered helping a person. So to seek relief in this manner from someone who is present and someone who is alive and someone who can hear and someone who has the ability to help them out of this situation and to give them relief by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is lawful and permissible, and no one would deny that. This is lawful and permissible, and no one will deny that. So this is the issue that they're mixing here. So if there is a person who is alive and he's present and he's able to help somebody in time of relief, and they call on him to help him, then this is to call and to seek relief from someone who is present, from someone who is alive, present, and able. And there's no blame in that, and there's no fault in that. And this issue is not included in the issue that we're discussing about making the worship sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sincerely making the worship for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Likewise, other aspects of dua, like al-istiana, seeking help. Seeking help also is dua, talab al-aun. Al-istiana is also a type of dua, and it's an act of worship that should be sincerely for the sake of Allah. But if a person were to seek help from one who was alive and one who was present and one who was able to take care of some worldly affairs or whatever the issue may be, it's lawful for him. It's lawful for him. If a person, he wants to give advice to someone, but he does not know how to do that and he gets help from them, or if he has a job to do, an issue to take care of, for example, maybe he needs to mow the lawn and he's busy, so he will get the help of his son or the help of a brother and the likes like this to come help him take care of his yard work. All of this is lawful and permissible. This is not what we're discussing. This is not what we're discussing. This has nothing to do with the issue of ibadah, and no one would deny that this is lawful or claim that the one who sought help with another person to do his yard work or to do some financial work or to do any type of worldly work is considered making shirk. No one would say that. And likewise, the one who is in distress and in dire need of help and aid to seek relief from someone who is near him or able to help him and the likes, who is alive, then this is not included in the issue of worship that we're discussing. That is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is from the clarification of how far the deviants will go to try to hold on to their deviation. How far the deviants will go to try to hold on to their deviation, yani even whenever they know or it's very clear that it is falsehood and they have nothing left to hold on to. They have nothing left to hold on to. They'll even go to the links like this, claiming that these evidences here indicate that it's permissible to call on others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get relief. So we see the difference between the two. So now it's very easy to see the refutation that the author is going to mention, rahimahullahu ta'ala, because here now on the day of resurrection, the prophets and messengers, they're brought back to life along with mankind. On the day of resurrection, all of mankind will be brought back to life, a new life, and they'll have a complete life. And the prophets and messengers are alive along with mankind, and mankind are coming to them while they're alive and while they're present, and they're asking them to do something that they have the ability to do, and that is to seek permission to intercede with Allah Azza wa Jal. And Adam, he has the ability to do that. And Ibrahim and Musa and Isa alayhim salatu wasalam, they have the ability to do that. So the people that are coming to the prophets and messengers while they themselves are alive and the prophets and messengers are alive alayhim salatu wasalam, and they're asking them to do something that they have the ability to do, which is to seek permission from Allah to intercede on their behalf. But each one of them makes an excuse and mentions the reason for their excuse, and they pardon themselves in that affair until it comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he accepts that, and he advances upon that, and he seeks permission to intercede, and he's granted that permission sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here, there is no aspect of shirk, because the people are alive, and they're going to people who are alive, and they're asking them to do things that they're able to do, that they're able to do. As for in this life, then the prophets and messengers, they're not alive. So to call on them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we're alive and while they're dead, this is the issue that's considered shirk. And this is the issue that is considered paganism. And this is the issue that we're talking about. So on the day of resurrection, the people are alive in a new life. And they're all sharing in that life. They're all resurrected a new life. As for in this life, then there are some who are alive and there are others who are dead in the life of the barzakh. So the lives are different. So calling on someone who is in the life of the barzakh, someone who is dead from this life, this one is the issue that is forbidden and not allowed. This is the issue that is forbidden and not allowed. As for calling on someone who is alive and having the same life, like the life of this life, or on the day of resurrection, and they're all alive, then this one is lawful and permissible. So to mix the two up is in reality clear ignorance and foolishness and just stubborn rebellion and holding on to whatever one can hold on to defend their falsehood and to remain upon their way that they want to follow. So the author says, "Fil jawabu an taqul." The response is that you say, "Subhana man taba'a 'ala qulubi 'ada'ihi." Glorified is the one who sealed the hearts of his enemies. فَإِنَّ الْإِسْتِغَاثَةَ بِالْمَخْلُوقِ عَلَى مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ لَا نُنْكِرُهَا. Because indeed seeking al-istighatha, seeking relief from the creation, and from a person, and something that they have the ability to do, we do not deny this. We do not deny or reprimand this. We do not forbid this. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى فِي قِصَّةِ مُوسَى. Just like what Allah mentioned in the story of Musa alayhi salam, فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعْتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِهِ, and the one who was from his party, and he from the party of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, the Israeli, he sought relief with him. He sought relief with him from the one who was from his enemy. And this one, he sought relief. And Allah, he mentioned that this individual from Bani Israel sought relief from Musa. And Musa went to him and helped him. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. So, and Musa, he defended his friend. He defended the one who was from his tribesmen. And he hit that man with his fist, and he killed him, the Qibti. And he killed him. And the story is well known. But Allah is mentioning here that this person made istighatha with Musa. And this is also from their evidences as well. But this is to clarify that Musa at this time was present, and he had the ability to help and to aid that person. So this man, he's fighting with another individual, and the other individual is getting over on him and overpowering him. And then whenever he seen Musa, he told Musa to come and help him in distress in this situation. And Musa heard him, and he came and he helped him. Musa heard and he came and he helped him. So this is from the istighatha that is permissible, seeking relief and help in times of distress from someone who is present and alive and has the ability to do what is requested. This is an example of that, that no one denies. We're not discussing this affair. وَكَمَّا يَسْتَغِيثُ الْإِنسَانُ بِأَصْحَابِهِ فِي الْحَرْبِ وَغَيْرِهِ فِي أَشْيَاءَ يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهَا الْمَخْلُوقِ. And likewise, just as a person, he will seek al-istighatha. He will seek istighatha and relief and help and aid from his companions and from his colleagues in war, and other than that, from the affairs that the human being is able to do. Maybe a person, he will be, for example, in war, and he'll be in battle, and he'll be outnumbered, and the likes like this, or he'll be having the lower hand, and the enemy will have the upper hand, and he'll call for reinforcements, and he'll call for his comrades and his help and his colleagues in war to come and aid him and to help him and the likes like this. And this is lawful. They had the ability, back me up, help me, get me out of this situation. I'm over here. They're overpowering me, so on and so forth, to call for friends to come and help him out of this tough situation whenever they have the ability. This is all lawful and allowed, just like how the Israeli here, he sought relief and help from Musa whenever his enemy is taking advantage of him and harming him. Taking advantage of him and harming him. So he says, وَنَحْنُ أَنْكَرْنَا اسْتِغَاثَةَ الْعِبَادَةَ الَّتِي يَفْعَلُونَهَا عِنْدَ قُبُورِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ أَوْ فِي غَيْبَتِهِمْ فِي الْأَشْيَاءِ الَّتِي لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهَا الْمَخْلُوقُ وَلَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And the istighatha that we reprimand, that we forbid, and that we prohibit is the istighatha of ibadah. Is the istighatha of ibadah, seeking relief, which is a type of worship, the one that they do at the graves of the so-called awliya and other than them, or in their absence, and the things that the human being does not have the ability to do, or the affairs that no one has the ability to do except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the one that we are reprimanding. This is the one that we're forbidding. This is the one that we're saying it must be for the sake of Allah. This is the one that we're telling you that you cannot do. And that the one who has done it, he will fall into shirk. And this is the majority of the time. The majority of the time, whenever they're calling on the graves or calling on those who are absent, they're calling on them to do things that they do not have the ability to do, or calling on them to do things that only Allah has the ability to do. That only Allah has the ability to do. So this is the aspect of major shirk. But likewise, even if they were to call on them, on the dead or those who are absent, to do things that had they been alive or had they been present, they had the ability to do, this supplication likewise is major shirk. The supplication and this dua, this invocation likewise is major shirk. So the author, he's mentioning the aspect that normally occurs from them, and that is that they will call on the ones in the grave, or they will call on their mashaykh that are absent and the likes like this in the distant lands, to do things that only Allah has the ability to do. This is what is known from them, like guarding the hearts, or like curing the sick, or the likes, or providing a child. Curing the sick or providing a child and the likes like this. They call many times on these affairs that only Allah, He has the ability to do. But even if they were to call on these individuals who are dead or who are absent, to do things that they had the ability to do had they been present. Likewise, this is major shirk and disbelief, and will take a person out of the fold of Al-Islam. Will take a person out of the fold of Al-Islam. There's no doubt about that. So he says, Rahimahullah, إِذَا ثَبَتَ ذَلِكَ فَالِاسْتِغَاثَةُ بِالْأَنْبِيَاءِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرِيدُونَ مِنْهُمْ أَنْ يَدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يُحَاسِبَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَسْتَرِيحَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ كَرْبِ الْمَوْقِفِ وَهَذَا جَائِزٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَنْ تَأْتِيَ عِنْدَ رَجُلٍ صَالِحٍ حَيٍّ يُجَالِسُكَ وَيَسْمَعُ كَلَامَكَ تَقُولُ لَهُ ادْعُ اللَّهَ لِي كما كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسألونه في حياته في الاستسقاء وغيره وأما بعد موته فحاشا وكلا أنهم سألوه ذلك عند قبره بل أنكر السلف على من قصد دعاء الله عند قبره فكيف دعاؤه نفسه. So the author, he says, رحمه الله تعالى, that if this is established now, then the istighatha, seeking the relief, that is the seeking of relief that is done to the prophets, the seeking relief from the prophets on the day of resurrection, wanting them to call on Allah Azza wa Jal to begin the accountability, to take the people to account, so the people of Jannah can relax and be at ease from the hardships of standing on that day, then this is permissible in this life and in the hereafter. Then this is permissible in this life and in the hereafter. And whenever they were alive to ask the prophets and messengers to do something that they have the ability to do, to make dua, to call on Allah for them, this is lawful and allowed. And likewise in the hereafter, whenever the people also are in a new life, to go to them and to ask them to make dua, and to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal, this is something that likewise is lawful, and there's no doubt about that. He said, for example, that you come to a righteous man that is alive. If you go to a righteous man who is alive, and he's sitting with you, and he can hear your words, and he can hear your speech whenever you talk to him, and you say to him, supplicate to Allah for me, call on Allah for me, make dua to Allah for me, this is lawful, just as the companions, they used to do with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him in his life, whenever he was alive, and in the prayer for rain. And other than that, any in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would ask the Messenger to make dua for them in certain circumstances and situations, like whenever there was a great drought. And the narration of Anas is well known. And in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's giving the khutbah, and the man, he came in and he mentioned the problem that they're facing with the drought and the lack of rain, and the animals are dying off and the crops and the likes, and the people in hardship. Make dua, O Messenger of Allah, for Allah to send the rain. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for Allah to send the rain, and Allah, he sent the rain immediately. And then the rain continued for a week until the next Jumu'ah. And the man, he came back in and he mentioned that how the crops are being destroyed and the water is flooding and the likes like this. So to ask Allah to now make dua for the rain to stop. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua for the rain to be spread in the other lands and the surrounding lands and not in the area that they're at. And the rain ceased and stopped at that moment in the land that they were at, because of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to go to someone who is alive, as someone who is considered righteous and good, and to ask him to make dua for you, this is something that's lawful. This is something that's lawful. It's allowed. It's allowed to ask someone to make dua for you. It's allowed to ask someone to make dua for you. And if they're present and they're alive, you say to him, make dua for me, barakallahu fik, make dua for me, make dua for my child. So on and so forth. This is lawful. This is allowed. The issue here is not about doing this when one is alive, but rather calling on one who is dead. Calling on one who is dead, or calling on one who is absent, or requesting something that only Allah has the ability to do. This is the aspect of shirk that we are discussing. This is the aspect of shirk what we are discussing, and this is what they do with their awliya, and they do at the graves, and what they do with their mashayikh. And this is the one that we reprimand and refute and clarify as falsehood and not allowed, whether it is a means to take a person out of the fold of Al-Islam. out of the fold of Al-Islam. He says, as for after death, then of course not. They never asked the Prophet ﷺ anything at his grave. After the death of the Prophet ﷺ, the companions, they never went to the grave of the Prophet asking the Messenger ﷺ for something. Asking the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, even in the time of Umar, whenever there was a drought, they didn't go to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and ask the Prophet to make dua for rain. Rather, they went to Abbas, who was alive, and they asked Abbas, you make dua. You make salat al-istisqa. You make dua al-istisqa. You make pray for rain. Whenever the Prophet was alive, we used to go to him and ask him to pray for rain. Now that he's not alive and you're alive, O Abbas, and you're his relative, then you go to Allah and ask him for rain. And this is what has been affirmed and mentioned authentically. So they did not go to his grave after he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ask him for anything. And ask him for anything. Of course not. Rather, the Salaf, they denied that. And they reprimanded the people who used to go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just to make dua. Just to make dua. There are a number of narrations from the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that, the narration of Zain al-Abidin. Zain al-Abidin, Ali ibn al-Husayn. And also a narration from al-Husayn ibn al-Hasan ibn Ali. And from the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they seen individuals going to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua, to call on Allah, believing that this is a special place and that the dua would be accepted greater, it has a greater opportunity of being accepted at the grave. And whenever they found out about this affair, they reprimanded them and they forbade them from that. And they mentioned narrations back to Ali radiallahu anhu and to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbidding taking the grave of a prophet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an Eid. As a place that one he will return to and go back to. And also mentioning as well that there's no need to go to the grave to give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there are angels that will convey the salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever you may be. And they will say, you, anta wa walladhi bil andalus sawa, you are the one who is in Andalus, and you are the one who is in the far ends of Morocco. And the lies like this, you're the same. You're the same. And whether you send your salam from Morocco, any from the far off distant lands of Maghrib, or whether you send the salam from the grave, it's all the same. It's all the same. There's no need for this affair. So the Salaf in general, and specifically from the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they reprimanded the people from going to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua to Allah. So how about the one who makes dua to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself? This is what the author, he's saying, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this issue is very clear, that to make al-istighatha, to seek relief or help in times of distress with someone who is alive and present and able, this is lawful and allowed. Likewise, al-istiana, to seek help in worldly affairs or in religious affairs from someone who is alive and present and able, this is allowed. To request supplication from someone who is alive and someone who is present and able, this is allowed. This is not what we're discussing. This is not from the issue that will take a person out of the religion, and no one denies that, or no one believes that, or no one has ever mentioned that. No one has ever mentioned that from the people of knowledge. What we're discussing is calling on the dead, calling on people who are absent, calling on the dead and people who are absent to do things that only Allah can do, or even calling on them in any manner, even in affairs that they are able to do. So there's a clear difference between the two. There's a clear difference between calling on a prophet who is dead now, while we're alive, and calling on asking a prophet asking him to make dua for you, who is dead now while we're alive, and on the day of resurrection, whenever everyone is alive again, a new life, asking him to make dua and call on Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is very clear, right? Alhamdulillah. So then the author, he mentions al-shubha al-thaniya ashara, the 12th doubt. He says, وَلَهُمْ شُبْهَةٌ أُقْرَى وَهِيَ قِصَّةُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لَمَّا أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ فَاعْتَرَضَ لَهُ جِبْرَائِيلُ فِي الْهَوَى فَقَالَ أَلَكَ حَاجَةٌ فَقَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أَمَّا إِلَيْكَ فَلَا. So he says now, and they have another doubt. And these are from the weakest of their doubt. أوهن الشبهات التي عندهم. This is the weakest and the most frivolous doubts that they have. And it is from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, whenever he was cast in the fire. And Jibra'il, he came to him alayhi salam, whenever he was in the air. And it's known that the people of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they put him in a manjaniq, in a catapult, and they cast him in the fire. And it's mentioned here that there's a story whenever he was cast into the fire, while he's in the air, Jibra'il, he came to him alayhi salam, and he said to him, Alaka haja, do you have any need? Do you have any need? And Ibrahim, he said, Amma ilayka fala, as for with you, then no. So it's mentioned here whenever Ibrahim, he was cast in the fire. Whenever he's in the air, Jibra'il came to him. And he said to him, do you have any need? And he, can I help you? Do you have any need I can help you with? And Ibrahim, he says, Amma laka fala, amma ilayka fala, as for from you, then no, I have no need. Then no, I have no need. And so they use this likewise as an evidence that it's allowed to seek istighatha from human being or from a creation or someone from the creation, or seeking istighatha from other than Allah is allowed. From other than Allah is allowed. There's a number of points to refute this refutation. From the first of them is that this narration is weak. This narration here is from the narrations that have no foundation. La asla lahu. It's a story that has been mentioned and narrated with no chains and the likes like this. Or even if there is a chain, then it's very weak and it's been fabricated. So the story here is not affirmed and not established on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is sufficient. But the author, he discusses the issue as if it's authentic. Just to mention, if it's authentic, then still there is an understanding and a clear refutation for them. So the author, he says, قَالُوا فَلَوْ كَانَتَ الْإِسْتِغَاثَةُ بِجِبْرَائِيلِ شِرْكًا لَمْ يَعْرِضْهَا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ. So they say now, if seeking al-istighatha, if making al-istighatha, and he's seeking relief and help in this time of distress from Jibra'il is considered shirk, is considered associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla, then he would have not presented that to Ibrahim. And he would not have offered Ibrahim to make shirk with him. So this is not making shirk then. You understand? This is their doubt. What do they say? Whenever Ibrahim is cast in the fire, whenever he's in the air, Jibra'il came to him and said, do you have any need? Can I help you? Can I assist you? Can I help you in this situation? And Ibrahim, he says, as for from you, I have no need. Meaning I put my trust and reliance upon Allah alone. And this is the story. So we've seen that this story here is weak and it's not established in the first place. It's not authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first place. So there's no need to discuss the benefits or the rulings that are derived from that, because it's not authentic. But just for the sake of argument, we discuss the issue and even clarify that the way that they understand this weak narration is not even proper, nor it is correct. And it does not indicate what they claim. So they say, had seeking relief from Jibreel been shirk, then he would not have offered that to Ibrahim. And had it been shirk, how could Jibreel come and say, do you want to make shirk with me? Basically, you want to call on me and make shirk with me, istighatha with me? If you need, I'm here for you to make shirk with. Like this, this is what they're claiming, this is the meaning. Had seeking istighatha, making istighatha with Jibra'il been considered shirk, he would not have offered that to Ibrahim. Alayhi salam. So this is their doubt. He says, rahimahullah, فَلْجَوَابْ أَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ جِنْسِ الشُّبْهَةِ الْأُولَى. This is from the same aspect of the first doubt, and the one that just preceded. فَإِنَّ جِبْرَائِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ عَرَضَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَنْفَعَهُ بِأَمْرٍ يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ. Because Jibreel, he presented to him an issue that he has to affair to benefit him, had presented to him, offered to him to benefit him as something that he has the ability to do. Jibreel alayhi salam, he's very strong, he's very powerful. And it's been mentioned even whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming back from Ta'if, that Jibreel, he came and had the angels, the angel of the mountains with him, and it had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked, they could have crushed the whole city between those two mountains, and they could have caused those mountains to crumble and to crush those two cities. And the point is that Ibrahim, he's powerful and strong. Allah has created him and given him the ability and strength and power. So he has the ability to help Ibrahim. So he's there, he's present, and he's offering to help. And he has the ability. He's there, he's present, and he had the story been authentic. He's there, he's present, and he's offering to help and to help him in something he has the ability to do. فَإِنَّهُ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى فِيهِ عَلَّمَهُ
علمه شديد القوة. Just as Allah he mentioned about Jibreel that he had taught him the one who is mighty and strong. علمه شديد القوة, يعني the one who taught the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by the permission and the command of Allah was Jibreel, and he was mighty and strong. فلو أذن الله له أن يأخذ نار إبراهيم وما حولها من الأرض والجبال ويلقيها في المشرق أو المغرب لفعل. And if Allah allowed Jibreel to take the fire of Ibrahim and that which is around it from the earth and the mountains and cast it to the east or to the west, then he could have done that. He could have done that. And Jibreel, he has the ability to do that had Allah allowed him to do that. وَلَوْ أَمَرَهُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَضَعَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَنْهَا فِي مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ لَفَعَلَ. And had Allah ordered Jibreel to remove Ibrahim and to put him somewhere far away from the fire, he would have done that. وَلَوْ أَمَرَهُ أَنْ يَرْفَعَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ لَفَعَلَ. And had Allah ordered Jibreel to raise Ibrahim to the heavens, then he would have done that. And Jibreel has the ability to do these affairs. Had Allah allowed him and ordered him to do that, he would have done that. He would have done that. So the point is now that they're claiming that this is a proof for them, and it's not a proof for them. Because here, again, it's the same issue. And had the story been authentic, that which is mentioned in the story is that Ibrahim, he's alive, and he's cast in the air by a catapult into the fire. And Jibreel, who's alive, comes to him while he's in the air, and he's present there, and offers to help him. So this is from the aspect of that which is permissible, that one who is alive offers to help one who is alive, or one who is alive seeks help and relief from one who is alive, and one who is present, and one who is able. So this is not from the aspect of istighatha that is forbidden, that has that's related to worship and shirk and the likes like this. This is from the aspect that is lawful. So therefore, their flimsy doubts, their frivolous doubts, have no weight. This is just another clarification of how far they will go to try to hold on to the ways that they love, from calling on the dead, from calling on others besides Allah, that they will use the likes of these weak evidences and these weak aspects of these evidences that have no basis. The evidence has no basis itself, and the understanding of the evidence has no basis itself, and it's very clear to see the weakness of these proofs and their stance and their creed. So he says, وَهَذَا كَرَجُلٍ غَنِيٍّ لَهُ مَالٌ كَثِيرٌ يَرَى رَجُلًا مُحْتَاجًا فَيَعْرِضُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُقْرِضَهُ أَوْ يَهَبَهُ شَيْئًا يَقْضِ بِهِ حَاجَتَهُ فَيَأْبَى ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ الْمُحْتَاجُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ وَيَصْبِرُ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ بِرِزْقٍ مِنْهُ لَا مِنَّةَ فِيهِ لِأَحَدٍ. And this is like a man who is wealthy. This is like a wealthy man who has a lot of wealth. He has a lot of money. He sees a person who is in need, and he offers him to loan him some money, or to give him some money for free that he can take care of his needs with, and he can remove himself out of poverty. There's a wealthy man who has lots of wealth. He sees some poor man who is in need, going through hardship. He comes to the poor man and says, you know, I have lots of money here. Why don't I give you a loan, help you take care of your business and get yourself together? Or even better than that, say to him, here's some money, I'll give it to you for free. It's a gift. Take care of your needs. Take care of your family. I see that you're in hardship, and the likes like this. And this man here, he refuses to accept the money out of piety. He refuses to accept the money out of piety, and he prefers to be patient and put his trust and reliance upon Allah, hoping for Allah Azza wa Jalla to provide for him and to sustain him and to remove him from hardship without having the help or aid of anyone, or having anyone from the people being able to say, oh, I helped this person, I did this for that person. And because sometimes people, they will help and then they use that as a hand over a person. So to be free from that is a good way. So he preferred here to be patient in the time of hardship so that no one would have a favor over him. This is allowed for him. Is this not allowed for him? Huh? Do you understand the issue? This is the same. This is the example of the story here in the story of Ibrahim. There's a poor man, there's a rich man. The rich man, he offers to help the poor man. The poor man, he says, no, I don't want your help. Barakallahu fiik. Jazakallahu khair. I'll be patient. And in this, he doesn't want your help. But why? He doesn't want anyone to have a hand over him. He wants to have honor and dignity. He says, I'll be patient. I'm not going to take your loan. not going to put myself in the situation where I'm going to have a debt and I'm going to have to owe people and I'm going to have these problems and the likes like this. I'll just be patient. I'll be patient for the sake of Allah and ask Allah to help me and wait for the relief to come from my Lord. Huh? Is that lawful? That's lawful. So this is the same issue in the story here that is mentioned by these people here in this narration that is weak. So therefore, the story itself is weak. It has no foundation. And we see as well the wrong understanding that they have. It doesn't indicate what they claim at all. If it had been authentic, then this is understood in the proper light that this is seeking help or relief in times of distress from someone who has the ability and is alive and present. From someone who is alive and present and has the ability. Not to mention from another aspect that this is another aspect of refutation and that this story here is contrary to what is authentic. And it has come in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he mentioned, كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حِينَ أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. That the last thing Ibrahim, he said, this is the story, that this is what has come in Bukhari from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma. He said the last thing that Ibrahim, he said whenever he was cast into the fire, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. Allah will suffice me and He's the best of those who dispose of the affairs. So this is what is reported authentically. What did Ibrahim, he say whenever he was cast into the fire? He called on Allah Azza wa Jal, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. With regards to this story, there are other wordings that have come as well, and also there are wordings that are incorrect. Some wordings that has been mentioned whenever Jibreel offered to help him, and in the claim of this narration, there's another wording that claims that Ibrahim he said hasbi min su'ali ilmuhu bihadi hasbi bi su'ali ilmuhu bihadi. Whenever it's mentioned for Ibrahim. To call on Allah Azza wa Jal. Should he call on Allah Azza wa Jal? He said, حَسْبِي مِن سُؤَالِي عِلْمُهُ بِحَالِي. It suffices me. I have no need to ask him. I have no need to call on Allah because of this. He has knowledge of my circumstance. I have no need to call on Allah because he has knowledge of my circumstance. You understand? So there's another wording about this. Whenever Ibrahim was asked, are you going to, if you have any need from me, or are you going to call on Allah? He says, I don't need to call on Allah. Allah, He knows my situation. I don't need to call on Allah. Allah, He knows my situation. So this wording right here is also false and incorrect, from a number of aspects. It's not authentic in the first place. And then likewise, the meaning is wrong. And the prophets and messengers, they used to call on Allah. They used to call on Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves whenever you call on Him. And He orders for us to call on Him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man lam yas'al ilaha yaghlab alayhi. Man lam yas'al ilaha يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever does not call on Allah, whoever does not ask Allah, then Allah will become angry with him. So Allah, He loves whenever we call on Him. So Allah, no doubt, He knows our circumstance, but also He loves whenever we call on Him. And the prophets and messengers, they used to call on Allah Azza wa Jal. So to claim that Ibrahim, he made this statement, حَسْبِي مِن سُؤَالِي عِلْمُهُ بِحَالِي. I have no need to call on Him. I have no need to ask Allah. Allah, He knows my situation. Allah, He knows my situation. No doubt Allah, He knows our situation, but also He loves for us to call on Him and for us to beg Him. So this wording likewise is also incorrect, and it is a weak narration. And not only is the chain weak, but likewise the text as well is weak in contradiction to that which is established in the principles of the religion, that Allah, He loves for His slaves to call on Him, and that the prophets and messengers, they were the best of those who called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, what is authentic from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, that the last thing he said whenever he was cast into the fire, حَسْبِيَ Allah wa ni'ma al-wakil. حَسْبِيَ Allah wa ni'ma al-wakil. And this is a great, great supplication that a believer should remember and call on Allah often. And it's mentioned in times of distress and likewise in order to obtain good. So in times of distress and hardship, when he says, حَسْبِيَ Allah wa ni'ma al-wakil, to have help and relief from hardship and difficulty. And also whenever a person is hoping to have some good, he will say the supplication likewise, حَسْبِيَ Allah wa ni'ma al-wakil. Allah, He will suffice you and protect you from all harms and danger. And likewise, Allah, He will suffice you in obtaining the good that you hope for from this life and from the hereafter. After this, the author, he moves on to Al-Khatimah, the closing chapter and the end of the work. And we have seen the work has an introduction and then the main subject with regards to the doubts. And we have discussed these affairs. And then in the end, it has Al-Khatimah. And inshallah, in our class to come, we will finish this work bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.